Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor Bei Avraham Gold. All right, and today Maseches Yevamos Daf Lamed off the third parak Arba'achin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Rabba said that we do not prohibit a woman who has a chazaka to marry anyone on the basis of a safek. Abai continues to challenge Rabba here with a mission that teaches that if a house collapsed on a man and his niece whom he was married to, and it's not known which of them died first, her tzar does chalitz but may not be taken in yibum. She cannot do yibum because if the husband died first, she is a tzara of an erva. She has to do chalitz, or perhaps the niece died before her husband, in which case she would be mutter to the yavam. We see from this mishnah that even though the tzara has a chazaka to marry anyone, she is prohibited to do so without chalitza due to a safek. And if you say that the requirement for chalitza is a chumra, it cannot be, since chumra da'asikle de'klu. It's a chumra that will lead to a leniency. For if you'll say she requires chalitza, she may come to be taken in yibum. The Gemara gives two answers, the first one being that in the case of divorce, which is a common occurrence, the rabbis decreed that she does not do chalitza since it might lead to yibum. But in the case of the mapolis, the collapsed house, which is not a common occurrence, the rabbis did not decree to not do chalitza out of concern it will lead to yibum. Point number two, the Gemara challenges the notion that the reason the Mishnah did not include a suffix case of a thrown get was because in that case the chalitza would not be done since it might lead to yibum. It was taught in the Mishnah and Gittin, if a get was thrown in Rishus Rabbim in a land between the man and the woman, leading to a suffix, Mugareshes ve'en Mugareshes, she is divorced and is not divorced. And it was taught that one of the implications of not being divorced is that if she was an erva to her husband's brother, her tzara requires chalitza. And we do not say that we do not require her to do chalitza, for if we do, it might lead to her being taken in yibum. The Gemara answers that it was stated regarding this Mishnah that Rabbah and Rav Yosef say, we're dealing with two sets of witnesses, where one set says it was closer to her, and the other says it was closer to him. In such a case, it's a suffolk deraisa. Rashi explains that since there are two witnesses who say it was closer to her, we cannot use the principle of chazaka to resolve the suffolk for her tzara and release her from a chalitza. Our Mishnah is dealing with one set of witnesses, where one says it fell closer to her, and the other one said it fell closer to him, and therefore it is a suffolk derabanan. The Gemara will successfully refute this answer. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Shlosha achim nesun shlosh nachrios. Three brothers are married to three unrelated women, and one of the brothers dies childless, and the second one does mimer and then dies. Both of these widows must do chalitza, but they may not be taken in yibum. But the pasuk states, umeis echom mehem yavama yavo ahalel. And one of them dies, her yavam shall have relations with her. This teaches that yibum applies to a woman, she'aleha zikas yavam echot, who has on her a zika of one deceased brother, v'lo'aleha zika shnei yavamim, but does not have on her the zika from two deceased brothers. Rabbi Shimon says, miyabim le'ezen sh'yirtze v'cholot z'shnia. The third brother can do yibum to whichever one he wants, but must do chalitza to the other. Rashi explains, there was already taught in the second parak, that Rabbi Shimon does not hold that zika affects a partial acquisition, resulting in this case of a double zika. Rather, he's in doubt whether mimer works completely to make the first widow the first yavam's full wife, or if it does not work at all, in which case the yavama fell to the yavam from her first husband. So once again, the 3 points are number one. On Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Rabba said that we do not prohibit a woman who has a chazaka to marry anyone on the basis of a safek. Abai continues to challenge Rabba here with a mission that teaches that if a house collapsed on a man and his niece whom he was married to, and it's not known which of them died first, her tzara does chalitz but may not be taken in yibum. She cannot do yibum because if the husband died first, she is a tzara of an erva. She has to do chalitz, or perhaps the niece died before her husband, in which case she would be mutter to the yavam. We see from this mishnah that even though the tzara has a chazaka to marry anyone, she is prohibited to do so without chalitza due to a safek. And if you say that the requirement for chalitza is a chumra, it cannot be, since chumra da'asikle de'klu. It's a chumra that will lead to a leniency. For if you'll say she requires chalitza, she may come to be taken in yibum. The Gemara gives two answers, the first one being that in the case of divorce, which is a common occurrence, the rabbis decreed that she does not do chalitza since it might lead to yibum. But in the case of the mapolis, the collapsed house, which is not a common occurrence, the rabbis did not decree to not do chalitza out of concern it will lead to yibum. Point number two, the Gemara challenges the notion that the reason the Mishnah did not include a suffolk case of a thrown get was because in that case the chalitza would not be done since it might lead to yibum. It was taught in the Mishnah and Gittin, if a get was thrown in Rishus Rabbim in a land between the man and the woman, leading to a suffolk, Mugareshes ve'en Mugareshes, she is divorced and is not divorced. And it was taught that one of the implications of not being divorced is that if she was an erva to her husband's brother, her tzara requires chalitza. And we do not say that we do not require her to do chalitza, for if we do, it might lead to her being taken in yibum. The Gemara answers that it was stated regarding this Mishnah that Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef say, we're dealing with two sets of witnesses, where one set says it was closer to her, and the other says it was closer to him. In such a case, it's a suffolk deraisa. Rashi explains that since there are two witnesses who say it was closer to her, we cannot use the principle of chazaka to resolve the suffolk for her tzara and release her from a chalitza. Our Mishnah is dealing with one set of witnesses, where one says it fell closer to her, and the other one said it fell closer to him, and therefore it is a suffolk to Rabbanan. The Gemara will successfully refute this answer. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, Shlosha achim nesun shalosh nachrios. Three brothers are married to three unrelated women, and one of the brothers dies childless, and the second one does mimer and then dies. Both of these widows must do chalitza, but they may not be taken in yibum. But the pasuk states, umesa echo mehem yavama yavo ahalel. And one of them dies, her yavam shall have relations with her. This teaches that yibum applies to a woman, she'aleha zikas yavam echad, who has on her a zika of one deceased brother, v'lo aleha zika shnei yavamim, but does not have on her the zika from two deceased brothers. Rabbi Shimon says, miyabim le'ezen sheyirtze v'cho etzashnia. The third brother can do yibum to whichever one he wants, but must do chalitza to the other. Rashi explains, there was already taught in the second parak, that Rabbi Shimon does not hold that zika affects a partial acquisition, resulting in this case of a double zika. Rather, he's in doubt whether mamre works completely to make the first widow the first yavam's full wife, or if it does not work at all, in which case the yavam fell to the yavam from her first husband. All right, so now we go to our siman daf lamed aleph, and our standard siman is a judge, because lamed aleph reminds us of the law, and we use a judge to make a little more distinct. So here goes. The chalitza judge was having a rough day when he gave up trying to determine who died first in a collapsed building, a husband or his wife who was his niece, and then had to listen to two sets of witnesses arguing over where a thrown get had landed, while a woman complained in the background about the stress of having two zikas. Once again, in slow motion. The chalitza judge, that must be more duff, lamed aleph, the law. The chalitza judge was having a rough day when he gave up trying to determine who died first in a collapsed building, a husband or his wife who was his niece, which reminds us of Abaye challenged Rabbi who said that we do not prohibit a woman who has a chazak to marry anyone on the basis of a suffolk. From the case of a mapolis, where a house collapsed on a man and his niece, whom he was married to, and it's not known which of them died first, her tzara does chalitza and may not be taken in yibum. So we see from this Mishnah that even though the tzara has a chazaka to marry anyone, she's prohibited to do so without chalitza, due to a suffolk. The Gemara gives two answers, the first one being that in the case of divorce, which is a common occurrence, the rabbis decreed that she does not do chalitza since it might lead to yibum. In the case of the mapolis, the collapsed house, which is not a common occurrence, the rabbis did not decree to not do chalitza out of concern it will lead to yibum. So the chalitza judge was having a rough day when he gave up trying to determine who died first in a collapsed building, a husband or his wife who was his niece, and then had to listen to two sets of witnesses arguing over where a thrown get had landed. Which reminds us, the Gemara attempts to explain the difference between our Mishnah with the case of throwing the Kedushin, which results in a suffolk, and the case from a Mishnah in Gittin, which deals with throwing a get, which results in a suffolk, by explaining that in Gittin we're dealing with two sets of witnesses, where one set said it was closer to her, and the other set says it was closer to him. In such a case, it's a suffolk deraisa. Rashi explains that since there are two witnesses who say it was closer to her, we cannot use the principle of chazaka to resolve the suffolk for her tzara and release her from chalitza. Our Mishnah is dealing with one set of witnesses, where one says it fell closer to her, and the other said it fell closer to him, and therefore it is a suffolk derabanan. The Gemara will successfully refute this answer. So the chalitza judge, who was having a rough day when he gave up trying to determine who died first in a collapsed building, a husband or his wife who was his niece, and then had to listen to two sets of witnesses arguing over where a thrown get had landed, while a woman complained in the background about the stress of having two zikas. Which reminds us, it's Melchokas Hanakam Rabbi Shimon, what a woman does if she has two zikas on her, which resulted from one brother doing mimer with her before passing away, and her falling to yibum to her third brother. The Tanakhama holds that the pasuk teaches that she cannot do yibum, since yibum is only permitted when there's one zika on her, not two. Rabbi Shimon does not hold that there can be two zikas. He has a suffolk whether mimer works completely to make the first widow the first yavam's full wife, or it does not work at all, in which case the yavama fell to the yavam from her first husband. So once again, the chalitza judge was having a rough day when he gave up trying to determine who died first in a collapsed building, a husband or his wife who was his niece, and then had to listen to two sets of witnesses arguing over where a thrown get had landed, while a woman complained in the background about the stress of having two zikas. All right, now it's time for four blah bach chazara. Daf chav zayin. So the simmer daf chav zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The kids who blew their zika alert kazoos, that must be more on daf chav zayin. The kids who blew their Zika alert kazoos at the tsaros of two sisters who did chalitza to warn them that they were not released yet, which reminds us, Rav Ashi explained Shmuel's ruling that if the Yavam performs chalitza with two sisters, the tsaros are not released is based on the view that there is Zika. And the reason why the tsaros are not released when the Yavam performs chalitza with the sisters is because the Zika is not strong enough to make the tsaros of an erva through the Zika equal to the erva through Zika herself. And Rashi explains that the Rabban decreed a Zika in the case of Achu Zukuka, so making the sister of a Zukuka like an erva. Now, while this on a Rabban level forbids her tsara from Yibum, it's not strong enough to classify her as an erva like it does with the tsara of a Deraisa erva. Therefore, the tsaras require chalitza as well. So the kids who blew their Zika alert kazoos at the tsaras of two sisters who did chalitza to warn them that they were not released yet, where one was a Baal's get and the other a Baal's mimer, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, in a case in which a man's brother died childless, leaving two widows, and the Yavam gave a get to one widow and did mimer with the other one, which one should the Yavam do chalitza with? Do we say that the one that received the get should do chalitza, da askir ba b'chalitza, because the Yavam has already started the chalitza process with her? Or do we say it's preferred to do chalitza with the one he did mimer with, mishim dekrova labia, because since he did mimer with her, she's closer than her tzara to doing yibum with the Yavam, and therefore the chalitza is a stronger chalitza? The Gemara concludes that they're equal and neither takes precedence. So the kids who blew their Zika alert kazoos at the tsaros of two sisters who did chalitza to warn them that they were not released yet, where one was a Baal's get and the other a Baal's mimer, were told to stop blowing when they were notified that in fact the first sister died before doing chalitza and the second one was taken in Yibum. Which reminds, Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, in a case of two sisters who married two brothers who fall to one Yavam, Mesa Rishona Muta Bashnia, if the first widow died before doing chalitza, then he may take the second sister in Yibum. The Gemara clarifies that even though Rav holds to the principle of Shekol Yavama She'ein Ani Koraba B'Shas Navila Yavama Yavo Aleha Harizo Ke'ishas Ach She'ish Rabbanim, any Yavama that I cannot call the time she fell to Yibum a Yavama is considered like the wife of a brother who has children and is forbidden to the Yavam forever, he says it only applies when it's dealing with the Doraisa of Achuz Isha. But in the case with two sisters where it's only a Zika de Rabbanan, it does not apply. Dav Chav Ches, so the same Dav Chav Ches is a strong man. So here goes. The strong man, that must be more than Dav Chav Ches. The strong man who did Yibum to one of two sisters, because the other was an erva to him, though his brother could not do the same, which reminds us, the Mishnah Dav Chav Vav Amud Aleph had stated that in the case of two sisters falling to two brothers for Yibum, if one of the sisters is an erva to one of the brothers, then the brother is forbidden to take her, but is permitted to take her sister in Yibum. The Gemara asks why this was taught when we already learned it in the Mishnah Dav Chav Amud Aleph, with the case of two sisters who fall to one brother, and one of the sisters is an erva to the Yavam. And the Mishnah states, her sister, who is her fellow Yavama, may either do chalitza or be taken in Yibum. The Gemara will discuss why the Mishnah needed to repeat it. So the strong man who did Yibum to one of two sisters, because the other was an erva to him, though his brother could not do the same, discovered they were daughters born out of wedlock, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said that Rav Chiya's rule applies to all the arayos listed in the first Mishnah from the case of a mother-in-law and onward, but does not include the first six cases related to daughters and granddaughters. The reason is that this rule could only apply to daughters that were conceived out of wedlock, for then they could be two sisters that were daughters from two brothers from the same woman. And our Mishnah only deals with cases of marriage, not with cases where a woman was violated. So, the strong man who did Yibum to one of two sisters, because the other was an erva to him, though his brother could not do the same, discovered they were daughters born out of wedlock, and that Rabbi Shimon punches his brother from doing Yibum or Chalitza because of Isha Lo'achosa, Lo'zikach Litzror. Which reminds, Gemara brings a brisa that taught Rabbi Shimon punches both sisters of fall to Yibum to one Yavam from Chalitza and Yibum, for the pasuk states, V'Isha Lo'achosa, Lo'zikach Litzror. You shall not take a woman in addition to her sister to make them sorrows. This teaches, that at the time that two sisters become sorrows to one another by falling to the same man for Yibum, you shall not have a marital bond with even one of them. Dav Chav Tes, so the symbol Dav Chav Tes is a cot. So here goes. When the Mufna brother is sleeping in the cot, that must be more than Dav Chav Tes. When the Mufna brother sleeping in the cot was woken and did mimer with one of two sisters, which reminds us that the next mission brings Malkokes regarding to what degree mimer is considered like a full marriage. The case is when there are three brothers, two of whom were married to two sisters, Ve'echad Mufna, and one is not married. One of the sisters' husbands dies childless, and the Mufna does mimer with the widow, and then the second brother dies childless. So the second sister now falls to Yibum to the Mufna. Be'shamai say, Ishto imo ba'ozo teitzim mishuma chazisha. The mimer wife stays with him, and the second sister goes out without Yibum or Chalitza, because she is his wife's sister. But Beis Hillel saying he must terminate his mimer wife with a get and Chalitza, and his brother's wife with Chalitza. This is the case in which they say, Oilo al Ishto, but Oilo al Ishas Achiv. Woe to him over his own wife, and woe unto him over his brother's wife. This is because the Mufna loses both women. So when the Mufna brother sleeping in the cot was woken and did mimer with one of two sisters, he knew that her sister, who then fell to him for Yibum, did not answer his mimer wife as Akhuzukukaso. Which reminds of Rabbi Elazar said, do not say that mimer according to Beis Shammai, Kone Kinyan Gamor, is a complete Kinyan of the Yavama, so that if the Yavam wants to send her out, a get is sufficient. Rather, mimer according to Beis Shammai, in a Kone El Litchos, but Sarah Bilvad, does not make a Kinyan except regarding being Docha the mimer's rival Yavama, which in this case is her sister. Ravashi teaches that Rabbi Elazar said a different version of Beis Shammai, which the Gemara comes to refute. So, when the Mufna brother sleeping in the cot was woken and did mimer with one of two sisters, he knew that her sister, who then fell to him for Yibum, did not usher his mimer wife as Akos Zukukaso. But he was too sleepy to remember if the mimer was like Nisuan or like Erison requiring chuppah and her consent. Which reminds Rabba asks, mimer Beis Shammai Nisuan Oso or Erison Oso? Mimer according to Beis Shammai, does it affect Nisuan or does it affect Erison? If it works like Erison, she would require chuppah with her consent. Daf Lamed. So the Simmer Daf Lamed is a Melamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe, that must be more Daf Lamed, Melamed. The Rebbe, whose principle forbade him to discipline his class one moment, and realized he wouldn't be able to discipline them forever, which reminds us that if a Yavam's wife's sister fell to him for Yibum once, from one brother, which of course he couldn't do, and then again after his wife passed away and her Yavam passed away, Zo Asura Levulamis Hoyo Vanessa Lev Sha'achas, behold, the sister of his deceased wife is forbidden to him forever, since she was forbidden to him at one time when her first husband passed away, and she fell to him in Yibum. So the Rebbe, whose principle forbade him to discipline his class one moment and realized he wouldn't be able to discipline them forever, couldn't stop the boys from throwing paper who claimed they were playing the Safek Kedushin game, which reminds us the fifth mission the Daf states for Kulan, and in all of them, referring to the 15 cases of Arayis listed in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, Shayu Behen Kedushin or Gershin B'Safek, Hariyo Atzaros Chotzos V'Lot Misyamos. If they were in a state of a Safek Kedushin or Safek Gershin, their Tzaros require Chalitza, since there's a possibility that they're not Tzaros of an Erva, but may not be taken in Yibum, since there's a possibility that they are Tzaros of an Erva. The mission explains that a Safek Kedushin is if the husband who has since passed away had thrown the Kedushin, referring to either money or the Shtar, to the Erva, and it was a Safek whether it landed closer to him or it landed closer to her. It then gives three examples of what a Safek Gershin is. So the Rebbe, whose principle forbade him to discipline his class one moment and realized he wouldn't be able to discipline them forever, couldn't stop the boys from throwing paper who claimed they were playing the Safek Kedushin game after he told them the Safek Gershin game isn't played like that. Which reminds us, the Gemara notes that the Mishnah did not present a case of a Safek Gershin where a get was thrown and it was a Safek if it landed closer to him or to her, like it did with a Safek Kedushin, which Rashi explains implies that the divorce would not be valid and the Tzara would not even require Chalitza since she's considered a Tzara of an Erva. The Gemara asks, why is divorce different? And Rabbi answered, Isha zo becheskes hetu l'shukometis. This woman, referring to the Tzara of the Erva, had a chazaka of one who was permitted to marry anyone after her husband's death. Umasafik atabala osra, and on account of a safik you're coming to prohibit her? Altesren umasafik, do not prohibit her based on a safik. Abaya challenges this answer. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldin Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.